Welcome to the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, Dana Jones. I am a certified personal trainer, and I'm here to help you achieve your fitness goals without pain. In each episode, I'll share tips and strategies that will help you stay safe and pain-free while you're working out. I'll also interview experts in the field of fitness and pain management. So if you're ready to learn how to stay active and pain-free, then subscribe to the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast today. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the Pain-Free Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, Dana Jones. I'm so excited to be here with you today to talk about a topic that's near and dear to my heart, which is staying active and pain-free. I have been a personal trainer and fitness coach for over 15 years, and I've seen firsthand how pain can keep people from living their best lives. In this episode, I'm going to share my story with you and how I managed to stay mostly pain-free with the help of some industry experts. Firstly, everyone always wants to know, how did you get here? I have been an athlete since, I was 6 years old, and I started to experience head pain in probably around second grade. I wasn't sure what it was. I just knew that every time I would play sports, and if it was too hot, regardless of being inside a gym in the middle of winter or being outdoors during the summer, my head would start to hurt and it would just ruin the experience. I just dealt with it because, you know, what do? You suck it up and move on. A cool message for an 8-year-old, but hey, it was the 70s and that's what people did. Later, when I was going to college, I had a very traumatic car accident that not only was very scary, but there was a huge amount of guilt because I was the driver and I felt like I endangered my friends. As a result of the accident, I injured my head and neck. And even though I went to the ER and got a clean bill of health, I only got a couple of stitches on my forehead. I never felt right. And then I began to figure out, like, what do I need to do to cure my head and neck pain? Because I guess I didn't really register for me that my headaches were happening before the accident. So being the great mom that I had, she's like, hey, I got to take care of this kid and fix her problems. So she took me to the chiropractor. When I went to the chiropractor, he was like, oh, well, you know, your lower back is out and this is out and, you know, whatever. And he was kind of one of those slam bam, thank you, ma'am kind of guys where he was, you know, full force on top of you and jamming things back where he thought they belonged and all that kind of good stuff. But that's when I kind of started going to chiropractic. And then, of course, that didn't always work. So then there's acupuncturist and then massage. And then I read an article in Time magazine about a woman who was hit by a bus and she was a marathon athlete and Rolfing had saved her life and allowed her to go back to running. And I thought, oh, that's it. That had to be a thing. It was a traumatic experience and there's all this muscle tension and adhesions. And so Rolfing's going to be the cure. Of course, I went to one Rolfing session and had a migraine for 4 days after that because if anybody's ever been Rolfed, it's insane and it hurts like hell. And there's no reason why you should do that to your body. Then I read something else that said, oh, the reason why people get migraines is because they have TMJ and their muscles in their jaw and the side of their head build up. And so you should wear a mouthpiece to protect yourself and to cut down on that muscle tension. And then, of course, I read another article that said, oh, no, you can't wear the mouthpiece that allows your back teeth to touch because that builds up on the tension on the side of the head. So you have to have a mouthpiece that goes in the middle of your two front teeth. And so being poor as crap, I flew to Michigan to go meet this doctor to get fitted for this mouthpiece. And that worked for a little bit, but then, of course, it didn't work. I've done every diet that you can imagine. I have been gluten-free, dairy-free, any other free. I've done carnivore. I've done fasting. I've, like, you name it, I've done it in an attempt to cure my head pain, and none of it had worked out that way. Then I was doing ART chiropractic, and then I said, holy crap, this isn't working. Maybe I should go to the medical model. And so then I went to the doctor and they said, hey, let's put you on nerve blockers and, you know, let's put you on gabapentin and let's put you on SSRIs. And so I was on every antidepressant that you could be on for whatever period of time. I did Botox, which was fun, and I recommend it not at all because it was so freaking painful. I mean, think about getting 20 some odd bee stings in your body that you bleed from. And then, of course, the Botox wear off is nothing that I would want on my worst enemy. I did anti-seizure medications because, hey, those were supposed to work, right? Because my philosophy is that the reason why I have this migraines is because I have muscle tension. And if I take anti-seizure medications, muscle relaxers, that's going to help relax those muscles, and then I won't have head pain. And that's just a short list of the things that I did. Eventually, everything started to accumulate. And not only did I have head pain, but then it's like, oh, my elbow hurts, or my shoulder hurts, or my thumb hurts, or why is my pinky doing, you know, whatever. Oh, I have this foot injury. And the list kept going on and building. And it was kind of insane. And it wasn't until I went to the doctor for my foot pain that I realized that I didn't believe him. And I had already had some judgment around the medical model because of the fact that every time I went to a doctor, they said, oh, I got this, I can cure you. And generally when someone said that they can cure me, I went, oh, I'm not going back because you're full of crap, because I haven't been able to cure myself in all this time. So why are you going to cure me in one session or one appointment? But I don't even know, it was a pain in my cuboid bone, if anybody's ever seen that or heard of it. And it causes pain on the top of my foot, you know, off to the side. And, you know, this guy's like, oh, you got to stop what you're doing. No more running. You know, be careful about walking long distances. And I'm going to tell you that you should buy these orthotics and then everything's going to be great. And of course, I put the orthotics in, I started walking around, and everything was worse. It made the pain worse, you know, probably because my feet were fine, but I didn't know that at the time. And for whatever reason, somebody recommended, hey, read this book. It's called Pain Free by Pete Egoscue. And as I read the book, I began to realize that the pain I was suffering from was not necessarily because something was structurally wrong with my foot. It was a result of the weakness in my foot. And so, you know, one end, the doctor's telling me, hey, you'll never be able to walk barefoot again. Pete Egoscue is saying, you need to walk barefoot because evolutionarily wise, I got that out, your feet are our weakest point in the human body. You know, our fingers have adapted over time. Everything else, right? We adapt to our environment, and our feet haven't, because we shove them in these shoes with huge foam and lock them in so that your toes don't even have to do the work. We're just landing on our ankles and our feet as we progress or run or do whatever we're doing. And so after reading the book, I started doing like little exercises to work on my lower leg strength. And I said, you know, get rid of the orthotics, let's go. And I started walking around the house barefoot. And then that helped get rid of my issue with my feet. I didn't know that that was going to be the easiest thing that I was going to try to overcome. But I also didn't know anything about what was going on with me. I am 53 years old and I have suffered from chronic head pain up until a few years ago. And it was a very difficult process for me to either figure it out or try to do something different. And so I started to, you know, look at the reasonings behind, like, you know, why am I doing all these things and nothing ever works? And of course, as a chronic pain sufferer, and many of you may understand, it's, you start to lose hope. And, you know, there are some dark times and we won't get into that today, but it just definitely made me think, like, there's got to be something different. And so COVID hits. I have been seeing this chiropractor, or not chiropractor, acupuncturist, since I was 25 years old. And he was an awesome guy. And I came in and I wasn't doing anything because, you know, we weren't going out or whatever. I was working out a lot. But I said, hey, you know, I had this hamstring pain in my right hamstring, but now it's in my left. He's like, I really want you to read this book. And he had recommended the book before, and I poo-pooed him because my only thought was that he was trying to tell me that my pain was in my head, and I wasn't having any of that because there was something wrong with me. I knew it for sure. And he's like, read the book. So I read The Mind-Body Prescription by Dr. John Sarno, and he talked about tension myositis syndrome. And it's called TMS or mind-body syndrome, and it has many iterations now, and whoever you listen to will have their own version of basically saying that the pain that you're experiencing is real pain. It's how your body interprets that pain that causes the issue. And so for me, after reading the book and understanding, I was in constant fight or flight, and that was insanity. And I was like, oh, I can totally see how this happens. And that the pain is in my body, right? There's legitimate pain. I'm feeling this. My body's interpreting this pain. The reality was that I was telling my body I was unsafe. You know, knee pain. Oh my God, I'm going to die, right? Everything goes, oh my God, I'm going to die, which, you know, wasn't true, but that's how my body was interpreting it. And that's what caused the continuation of this pain and this, I always would go in and describe to my doctor and they just nod. And whenever I'd say this and I said, look, I'm in this circular thinking of, I have a pain and then I freak out because of the pain. And then I have more pain because I'm freaking out and it just keeps going on. And they would go, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And nobody would ever say, well, shit, that's normal. Excuse me. Sorry. I shouldn't. Now I have to hit the explicit button. Anyway, so I started realizing that this is a possibility, that this pain could be as a result of me and my thinking and my interpretation of these bodily sensations. And so it was COVID. I had plenty of time and I started doing deep dives into the TMS world. I was listening to podcasts. I was reading books. I was watching videos. I was attending seminars. I started interacting with people online like Nicole Sachs, Lisa Schlossberg, Dan Buglio, Alan Gordon, Georgie Oldfield, Dr. Howard Schubiner, and David Schechter, and so many more. I started watching movies like This May Hurt and Heal, and I downloaded the Curable app. And the interesting part about doing all this is, one, you know, it's a lot of information. And so I don't necessarily recommend that you flood yourself because then it becomes a thing, right? Well, I have to study this or I have to read this. And what you're trying to do is calm your body down and send messages of safety. And you can only do that if you're kind and compassionate and take your time and slow roll into this. Because, of course, as I'm reading about these people who read the book, and then instantly their pain goes away. And then I'm wondering why that didn't happen for me. And it was because I needed to do the work. And so going back to the beginning of listening to Dr. Sarno and reading his book, some of the things were dump your doctors, you know, is that it, do what you need to do to medically make sure that you're safe. And then once you realize that the doctor comes back and says, you know, those dreaded words, which are the test results look normal. Then you go, holy crap, I know what this is. And then you start doing the work and you start to figure out, like, what is the reasoning behind this? When did this pain first show up? How am I interpreting this? And then how do I get my life back? Because I had made my life so small. Because every time I went to a doctor, they said, don't do that, right? Like, I can't remember if it's a 50s or 60s kind of cartoon where it's, you know, that you go to a doctor. And I think it was the Three Stooges, right? They go to the doctor and they say, hey, it hurts when I do this. And they're like, don't do that. That's what everybody was doing. And so slowly I went from being an athlete and being active in the military and doing all these things to doing nothing and just sitting at home and going, oh, I hope this chair doesn't hurt my back. Or I hope that, you know, I drink enough today or eat enough today so that I don't get a migraine. Anyway, I started implementing this stuff into daily life. I started to journal. I started to be kind to myself instead of going, you know, darn it, you need to do this. I was putting myself in a situation where it's like, well, this is happening and this is okay. And that was hard because I've never been kind to myself. And I also wasn't hearing those messages when I was a kid either, right? Because it was a suck it up and drive on kind of thing. So at this point, 3 years later, I'm mostly pain-free. I have some bad days, and I try to work on the reasoning behind those days. Like, I will go, oh, this happened. Well, it's because I'm feeling stressed, right? And one of the takeaways, especially with Sarno's work, is that we never experience pain when we have a definitive feeling on something, right? If I'm angry, I'm angry, and that's it. We're good. We're angry. It's the feeling of, it's not okay for me to be angry. Or did I embarrass myself by being angry? Or I don't want to look like a fool, so I'm not going to be angry, right? So your body is like, ugh, I don't know what to do. That's what ends up causing the tension, and that's what leads to pain. So getting clear on my feelings, learning how to express my feelings, those are all beautiful things that you should be doing. Anyway, I do have bad days, and I think it's part of being a human. Right? Those are human days, right? Not every day is a party. Not every day is crappy. But learning how to interpret those feelings and process them appropriately is a good thing. And that's kind of what I'm shooting for with this podcast. I don't want to be in a situation where I feel like I felt 5 years ago, where it was very dark. I don't want people that I work with, my clients or my students or anybody like that, to feel this way. And so, of course, the big heart of my process is always about what you're feeling. Now, when I have a feeling, there's a conversation about, like, how can I make myself feel safe? Why is it okay to have those feelings? And so on and so forth. But I don't want to get too deep into that. This is only the first episode, and I got a lot to talk about, and I could keep talking for a long time. But I just wanted to let you know that I didn't fall into this work because it's posh or something that's happening right now that's so cool, right? I have suffered. I don't know. I guess I'm proud of the suffering. I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, it's basically, I have my lumps, right? I've taken my lumps, and I feel like it's important for me to share my experience with you and to let you know that there is hope. And if you've done all the things that you have done, and you get that those dreaded words said to you that the test results are normal or there's nothing wrong with you, and you're still experiencing that pain, that there's a way that you can work through and process through it. And so I'm hoping that in my next episode and future episodes that I'll be able to talk to you about how I translated my experience into my fitness coaching, because how I learn best is by teaching. And so I work with my clients and I teach them how to do this. And I'm hoping that whatever I say will be a benefit to you. And so I'm going to be bringing on guests. We're going to be talking about this stuff. We're going to be deep diving into certain aspects of it. So I am planning to talk about how I translated these experiences into my fitness coaching practice. So thank you so much for listening to the Pain-Free Athlete podcast. And if you found my story helpful, please feel free to subscribe. And so that way you don't miss any future episodes, and we'll talk soon.